Tape 1, Side 2, continued.
All right. Now, when I came back to Pittsburgh, eventually, I learned, of course, by then, because of the Depression, President Roosevelt had created the WPA, the Works Progress Administration. And in that organization was for the benefit of the masses of the American public who were mostly unemployed, but it also encouraged the arts, included employment of artists, painters, musicians, writers, and so on. One of the most marvelous programs is this country ever achieved culturally. And to this day, I wish it would resume, because it did wonderful things for art in America. I had heard that there was a branch of it in Pittsburgh called the Index of American Design. It was a part of the project where they made accurate copies of artifacts, early colonial artifacts, costume designs of soldiers and so on of the early periods, the colonial periods, very beautifully done things. And somehow I was able to get on that job. But it was run by, it was managed by an artist named Chris Walters, a very well-known Pittsburgh landscape painter.
What was the name?
Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T. W-A-L-T-E-R-S. He had gathered around him a group of fellow Carnegie Tech students, and he was very partial to them. And I somehow didn't fit in, and I was let go very rapidly from that, which I didn't object to because I didn't want to do that kind of art anyway. The next thing I knew was that a woman came in town, had her office up in the Cathedral of Learning. They had reorganized the easel project, the fine arts end of the WPA project. And I went to see her, to interview her and try to get on to that particular WPA art project. I took a watercolor with me, and she loved that watercolor. That watercolor, the first thing I ever submitted to WPA, is now hanging in a building in Washington, D.C. It's a really beautiful little watercolor.
Which building?
What?
Which building?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I have the notice, but it didn't indicate what building it was. I wish I did know. I'd love to see it. The next thing that happened was that there was a new state director for the WPA. He organized the easel project here in Pittsburgh. Up to that point, nothing was seen of these Index of Design paintings. Hardly anybody knew about it. It was kind of a closed corporation. But he put this easel project under the direction of Harry Schoik, S-C-H-E-U-C-H, who had a gallery downtown in the Bessemer building. And Mr. Schoik, before that, let me say, indicate how I got onto the project. And that was that the state director sent an artist named Richard Hood from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh to interview artists. So I'd heard that he was coming, and I called him and arranged an appointment with him. He was staying down at the YMCA. I took a batch of watercolors and drawings down there and spread them all over the floor of the lobby, and he looked at them. I was hired. I was immediately hired as part of the project, and as I said, Mr. Schoik was the director. He ran this gallery. He had continuing exhibitions. He showed my work. He is the one responsible for bringing that lithographic stone that I talked about, and where I did a print on it, and so on. And I became a full-time artist. All I was required to do was to turn in one work every month, at least one work. Many times I might have given several pieces, you know, watercolors, oils, and so on. And I was given my art supplies, materials, and I was completely on my own.
What became of those works?
What?
What became of those works?
Those works I would turn in to the Federal Art Project office, to Mr. Schroik. And then those works were lent to public buildings for exhibition. And if the public building, those in charge of the building, liked the work and wanted on permanent loan, they could get permanent loan for a period of 99 years to hang. To this day, I know I have a painting hanging in one of the Pittsburgh schools from that period, and of course they're hanging in Washington and Philadelphia and in other cities. A lot of them, unfortunately, there were thousands of works created over that period. It was over a period of about 8 or 9 years, but I was on the project only about 3 or 4 years. But thousands of works were done in every possible medium.
How were you reimbursed?
I was given a livable salary. As I say, in those days you could live fairly cheaply, so it wasn't a tremendous sum. It was enough to live on. And of course I got all my art supplies, so I didn't have that particular problem. So I lived very comfortably. And what I did was paint Pittsburgh. Of course that was the 30s, late 30s and early 40s. Art was primarily realistic in Pittsburgh and around the country. And that was what I wanted to do. I loved in all those years, even before I got on the Federal Art Project, I used to go out sketching the Pittsburgh scene, and I continued to do so, would come back, and on this wonderful canvas and paint oils that I had, I would do oil versions of it or submit the watercolors to the project.
Could you do paintings on your own and sell them apart from what you were doing for WPA?
Well, there was no written law say that you couldn't do that, but it wasn't really, you really couldn't do it because all my production was going to the Federal Art Project. What I could do was occasionally exhibit the painting, like in the Associated Artists at the Carnegie Museum, which I did. I finally managed towards the end of the Federal Art Project to hold on to one painting. It was too late to turn it in. That painting is in a show right now at Harrisburg. The State Museum in Harrisburg has an exhibition on the WPA, all the activities of the WPA, including an exhibition of artwork created in Pennsylvania. And that painting is right there on exhibit. Right now, they sent some very nice people here to interview me. They did a video interview of me. Right next to my painting is a TV set with a section, a fragment of that interview going on continuously. Of course, and I went to the opening, which was an elegant affair. It was really wonderful. The painting looks wonderful there. The show will be over on April 21st, and they'll bring it back to me. They are not emphasizing sales, which I wish they would do, but that's a painting left from that period. A lot of the artwork was lost over the years. Probably a lot of them wound up in basements of buildings or whatever. And you know what happens, you know, people who have no knowledge of art probably discarded a lot of them.
They didn't know to whom they belonged.
What?
They really didn't know to whom they
belonged.
That's
right. I have some wonderful photographs, black and white photographs, of paintings of that period that I use occasionally. I had an interview on the Pittsburgh Press. Ruth Heidbucher, who's a travel editor of the Press, saw some of our settlement artwork in a store in town, that audio video store in town, in the window. She came in, she saw a mural that I had done, and she got in touch with me and wanted to interview me about that mural, about the murals, the settlement murals.
Do you have a copy of that write-up?
Yes.
One of the things I would like appreciate your doing for us is to collect some of those, and we'll make copies of them and give you back the original.
She wanted to interview me about this the settlement murals. There were three other sections of three other murals on display in this store in town. But they're only sections, whereas mine is complete. Ruth Heidbucher did, at the same time I felt that it would interest her to see these photographs that I'd done of paintings on the WPA. So she combined the write-up for the Sunday Roto of the interview about the settlement murals and the WPA art that she was reproducing in the article. So that's the story on that phase.
Just going back a few moments to the early training, since Samuel Rosenberg is such an important name in Pittsburgh, can you tell us something about your relationship with him and something about him as a person, as a teacher, and so forth?
From the very beginning of my going to the art school, I met Samuel Rosenberg, and I said I didn't have too much actual instruction from him other than that painting I showed you where he showed me how to do the Venetian technique in painting. But I learned to love him. He was one of the kindest of men. Everybody in Pittsburgh really loved him as a person. As an artist, he was respected as the dean of Pittsburgh artists. His subject matter were people, particularly of the Hill, and he did many paintings of that period that are one beautiful examples of life during that period in Pittsburgh. Eventually, Mr. Rosenberg, like every artist, became influenced by modern art, by the abstract art movement, and his work veered in that direction. But those early Pittsburgh scenes are in every collection that you can think of, including museums. Eventually, he showed in New York. He became affiliated with a gallery in New York. And I think I saw an exhibition of his in New York. He exhibited in most of the major galleries across the country. So his reputation went beyond Pittsburgh, although he was the main influence. He influenced practically every artist in Pittsburgh during that period. As I say, to this day, I have a little portrait that he did of me, a little pencil drawing, when I was probably about 14 years old. A little wonderful little pencil drawing. And gave it to me. Of course, I knew his wife also, Libby, was a very wonderful person also. I might have seen his son once, but I never really met him. As I said, Sam Rosenberg founded this class over at the YMHA, which attracted a lot of the well-known Pittsburgh artists to study with him. Of course, I continued going to the art school because we had a model. By then we were using the model, drawing from the model, and I liked to do that. And I would depart. I would use the model as a point of departure and do more creative things with it. Of course, I did many realistic studies of the figure also. During that period, there was a couple of artists in town named, one was Virginia Cuthbert, who was one of the top Pittsburgh artists of the time. Her husband, Philip Elliott, taught art at art history, I think, at the University of Pittsburgh. He was also an artist, and they opened a class, a life class, credit free. Of course, you weren't getting a credit, but I went to that particular class a number of times as a to draw from the model. All right, now what can I go into?
Then from WPA, where did you go?
Well, from WPA, when the WPA folded due to the war had put the kibosh on that, I was allowed to take a course up at the Conley Trade School. There were various classes, probably auto repair, whatever, and there was a class offered in drafting. Well, after all, drafting is the use of ink and pencil, so it was a natural for me. I took that class for 6 months. I was supported. I was given a salary. But I went to this class and learned the basics of drafting, which gave me something to hang on to say that I could do this when I went to apply for a job. And after the 6 months was up, this was early spring, my friend Leonard Lee was working at American Bridge building LSTs. Those are landing ship tanks for World War II. He became a welder, and I decided to try to get a job there also. But I didn't get a job as a welder. I became an assistant to one of the fitters who fit parts together of the ship. And I worked that whole summer as an assistant of this fitter. And then with winter coming on, most of the work was outdoors. And the ships, of course, were unheated. And I didn't feel that I could stand physically the hardship of a winter outdoors. So I applied to Alice Chalmers Corporation for a job as a draftsman. I got a job there as a draftsman. Of course, these jobs were war-related. War jobs were plentiful because the government had given out many contracts, you know, to corporations and business. So I got a job there as a draftsman. I worked there for about 3 years till the war was over. When the war was over, not being a top draftsman, let's say, which I could have continued, I didn't. I then decided, by then, my friend Leonard Lee had started working for Kaufman's in the display department, and I decided to go there for a position. I did. I worked there for about a year in the display department, and I learned that the assistant to the store architect at Kaufman's was a friend of mine, a man that he knew me as a child growing up. His name was Abraham Frank. He had married Nancy Frank, who was a well-known social connected with the Jewish Family Service and so on, and he asked me to, he got the position. He moved from Kaufman's over to Gimbel's. Gimbel's had hired an architect, an outside architect, to do their fixtures and layouts and so on, but they decided to put on a full-time architect, and Abe Frank was given that job. And of course, he knew that I did drafting, I knew artwork. So he asked me to go over as his assistant, which I did. I went there, I worked with him for 10 years at Gimbel's, went through periods of recession and this, that, and the other, and managed to hang on, you know, department stores have a habit of laying off people. But he protected my job, kept me going. When that job lasted about 10 years, then it was a period of trying to orient myself into and using drafting as a means of getting jobs. I obtained a job with the county, Allegheny County Department of Highways. I was a draftsman there for a number of years. Of course, sometimes those jobs are political, and not sometimes, often.
They're always political.
They're always political, and when a new regime comes in, they lay off a lot of people. So I left that, had to leave that. I then obtained a job.
Where are we in years? About when?
The period?
Yeah.
That's probably around in the 50s, 1950.
What year did you go to Gimbel's?
To who?
Gimbel's.
To Gimbel's, that's what I'm trying to remember. That could have been the 60s, in the 60s, I think. I worked there. So for 10 years then, I worked at various jobs. One was with the Allegheny County Department of Highways. Another was with the Department of City Planning. Actually, my sister Rose saw a notice on a bulletin board of one of the supermarkets for asking for draftsmen. She told me about it, so I went down there and showed my samples of my drafting skill, and they hired me. So I worked there in the Department of City Planning for about 10 years.
Now where are we in time for those 10 years?
Well, I said that this might have been over the 60s, into the 70s, early 70s. In one period in my work in the Department of City Planning, my friend Morris Kirschenbaum, of course, had started an art school called the Ivy School of Professional Art. And Morris Kirschenbaum admired my artwork. He had seen it grown up with me in the art school. He admired my skill as an artist, and he knew that I knew a lot about the history of art. He asked me to teach at the Ivy School.
Just a moment. When did your serious painting begin?
My serious painting began on my own. Around in the early years of my employment at this club, around 1935, I'd say. Around 1935 was when although I was still going to the art school, I had actually rented a little attic room down in Lower Oakland as a studio, a private home. I rented this little attic room as a studio and started doing my own painting. And my first exhibition on my own was with the Associated Artists Organization at the Carnegie Museum, 1935. That was the very start of my professional career as a painter. Right. I may have some of these other dates a little mixed up, you know. I don't have anything to refer to right now. Mm-hmm. I should. Anyway, I worked for the Department of City Planning in the 70s, a period of 10 years.
And you're still doing your painting on the side.
Oh, yes. I continued. I had been doing artwork from the age of 11 on, both in the art school and occasionally at home and so on. But I decided to break away completely, to do my own work after a certain period, around 1935. After I left the Department of City Planning, what happened at that point? As I said, my friend Lawrence Kirschbaum had asked me to teach at the Ivy School. I considered it, but I decided against it because I had certain advantages as a city employee, pensions and so on, so I refused it. But that became political too, and I lost that job after a period of 10 years. And then I decided to go to teaching, because after all, that was what I knew best. And I went to Morris Kirschenbaum, my friend, and said, here I am, ready to teach. I attempted to teach for 1 year. I found that it was a totally different experience. All my life, I had been in positions where I did what the employer asked me to do. All of a sudden, I was standing in front of 30 teenagers and telling them what to do. Totally different. It was a very traumatic experience when you're not familiar. I knew the subject. The trouble with the subject was that he wanted me to teach a class in dimensional design, which means actually objects. Had no equipment. I was in a kind of a ramshackle classroom, and it just didn't work out. I was very unhappy. All I was doing was teaching the class, coming home, preparing for the next day, not able to do my own work. So I told Mr. Kirschenbaum that I thought I ought to discontinue. I went back to trying to get a job as a regular draftsman, didn't succeed, and one day I bumped into Mr. Kirschenbaum at the Associated, where I was showing at the museum. I said, Morris, I'm ready to go back and try to teach. However, I said, I would like my class to be every second day, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, which would give me a time to do my own work and to prepare the classes and so on. And I said, please don't give me a class in dimensional design, because I'm not a sculptor, which is what you really have to be. And I went back to teaching. It took me about a year to acclimate myself to that particular profession. It was tough to do. Very tough to do, for me to do. But some people fall right into it and do it without a bit of trouble. But it was a continuous effort on my part till after about a year, I said, what am I worrying about? I says, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to start enjoying it. From that moment on, I was one of the best teachers he ever had in that class. I had a very good class in what was called Cubism to Computers. It was a story of modern art from the very beginning, from the post-impressionist school, through Impressionism, through Surrealism, Cubism, the whole history of modern art, which I love to this day. And a lot of my library are works on that particular period, among more recent movements and so on. I taught there every position I had seen for the last 10 years. That the Ivy School finally folded. Mr. Kirschenbaum got into difficulties with debts and so on. By then, he had moved his class from Market Street, his school from Market Street to the north side, into a very, very nice quarters. But he got into difficulties, and he had to fold up the school. I immediately went down to the art students, what's the school downtown? The
Pittsburgh School for Art.
Well, it's not the Pittsburgh. It hasn't, at this stage, I can't even remember the name. But, you know, the foremost school of art downtown.
Institute.
The Art Institute of Pittsburgh. A friend of mine, John Winberg, had been in the Associated Artists, exhibiting artists. He knew my work. knew me personally, and I was the only one of the teachers from the Ivy School who he hired. I was put on the faculty at the Art Institute. I taught a class in mostly in drawing and painting, figure studies and so on. I didn't teach a class in cubism, the computers. And I may be wrong about that. I think maybe I did have that. I continued that. And to this day, they're going into it more thoroughly. They're actually teaching from the very beginning of art to the present day. A friend of mine is teaching there, tells me this. Finally, when I taught there about 4 years, they suddenly put in a new rule that they wanted the teachers to retire at 70. By then, I was already 71, so I got a year more on it. But I had to retire.
How long were you there?
About 4 years. And I enjoyed teaching there very well, too. And I decided that when I left the Art Institute that I was going to spend time retired on my own, doing my own work, and so on. And that's what I've done ever since.
End of side two, tape one, to be continued on tape two. Now remember,
I want to do it, and so on. Of course, I painted, drew, and constantly at home here. I took a number of trips. I love to travel. I